it's always a pleasure Mondays and Fridays to welcome some real wisdom to this radio station. So many of you have told me that you can't wait for these segments. I can't either. Brother Johnny's in Philo. He's back. Hey, Johnny.
DVJ, great to be back.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer. Are you in Chicago, Mike?
I'm in Chicago, yes.
All right, gentlemen, I'm leading a cruise to the British Isles. We're going to take Memorial Day off Monday, but I'll be calling you from the islands and reporting golf scores, Johnny, from some of the famous golf courses that we're going to try and play over there.
And well, so, I know St. Andrews is over there, but she better have signed up a couple years ago.
I actually put the name in January, and I don't think we're going to get that one. But it's a toughie. All right, I want to start with this Pakistani doctor that gets 33 years in jail for helping us find Osama bin Laden. Meanwhile, we continue to support the Pakistan government by about $2 and $3 billion a year. Help me with this logic, Johnny. What the heck? We threw this guy under the bus, or apparently it came from NATO, where we had the Pakistan president come to NATO in Chicago. We were supposed to look diplomatic. The guy tried to charge us 30 times what they're charging us now for supply transport. The U.S. said no. They grabbed the doctor and gave him 33 years to say, look, U.S., let's shove you around just a little bit. What in the world are we supposed to do with all this?
Well, it's tough to be diplomatic and to have civil relationships with some of these governments and countries. It's the rationale is anything's better than nothing, and we do get pushed around a little bit, but the theory is we're making progress. It's a tough situation, Mike, and I think taking the high road's the thing to do, but how do you prevent that, or how can you help him? I don't know.
Well, here's what they did. Now, they said they're withholding $1 million per year. That's $33 million over 30-year sentence, 33-year sentence they gave this guy, which is actually a death sentence. Now, that's not enough. Now, what they got to do is cut all, pull the ambassador out of Pakistan, cut all relations with Pakistan. Do not give them a penny. You got to start playing hardball with these people. You can't have a civil, honorable with dishonorable people. These are dishonorable people, period.
The problem is there are probably some honorable people, and any connection to them will be cut off, and that means the dishonorable people can take over. That's the rationale for hanging with them. But the problem is there's no deterrent. They do anything they want.
Sometimes you got to cut and run. I tell you what, not cut and run, but cut and stand. And to say, hey, listen, if this is what you want to do, you want the Taliban back in there, fine. Then you take the Taliban back in there. I think the United States is very capable of defending ourselves against the Taliban or anybody else.
Well, I think the theory is if you pull them out, then you got September 10 all over again, and that this mounting threat of a September 11 again will be building and building.
But let me say this. Who says this? The media. Who says this? You know, that was all the media dropped up all this stuff about Chicago, too, and NATO. Which, why we had NATO here, I have no idea, but we had it. But they dropped it up and this and that. It wasn't near, gang, I'm here. It was located in one little area by one little stupid group of people. And they got all this national coverage. Why? Because of the media. But if something good happens in our society, the media doesn't care. But they dwell on the negative, and that's wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, you're right, Mike, and standing up for principle sometimes is really what you do have to do. It's just very, very complex, and sometimes the ramifications of doing something that seems to make sense.
Well, let me ask you this, guys, just one question. I don't know the answer to it. If this happened when Reagan was president, what do you think would happen?
Ooh, there'd been ramifications.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different ballgame, because you talk about a man that's tough, that knows how to lead. You're not talking about wishy-washiness. You're not talking about pandering to the people over there. That's bull. It's BS. You know, we are the United States of America. This is so wrong, it's unbelievable. And the injustice, really, is not on us. It's on this individual.
All right, let me jump to the president now speaking on why everything is so bad, and I'm going to play Charles Krautheimer right behind it to kind of explain that. I'd like to get both of your reaction. Here's the president on being bamboozled by the Republicans.
I don't know how they've been bamboozling folks into thinking that they are the responsible, fiscally disciplined party. They run up these wild debts. And then when we take over, we got to clean it up. And they point and say, look how irresponsible they are. Look at the facts. Look at the numbers. And now I want to finish the job. This election will be closer than the last one. People don't remember the last election was close. We're going to have to contend with even more negative ads, even more cynicism and nastiness and just plain foolishness.
And the president went on to say that he is spending less in the rate of increase than anybody else. And then Krauthammer responded.
Since we just saw Jim Angle's piece in which the president says, since I've been president, federal spending has actually risen at the lowest pace in nearly 60 years. As Jim detailed, they have that number based on the federal spending that came out of the emergencies, the bank bailouts, the rescue of the federal housing agencies and the like at the end of the Bush administration, and that's their baseline at which he makes that statement.
Right, and that's what makes it the whopper of the year. I mean, this is an unbelievable distortion of the truth. It's really, if you compare it to what was spent in the Bush years, particularly if you take out the emergency spending that the two administrations agreed on at the end, the bailouts, then you've got an 8% increase, which is historic. You had in 2009 alone increases in the agencies of 20%, 50%, some of the agencies, historically high, and Obama has increased them year after year. So what he's talking about really is a false impression. There was no intention ever by any administration of repeating the bailouts that you had to have in September, October, and November and of 2008 and then the beginning of 2009.
All right, so we're using a faulty baseline, but the only Americans are going to hear, Johnny, is that we've been bamboozled and it's a Republican's fault.
Well, and you know, some of that's politics, but the truth of the matter is that a lot of us don't really know the numbers. We hear the media, and we're kind of dependent on it. That's why the importance of an unbiased media really hits home. What are the facts? When you take numbers and budgets, Mike, and it becomes a he said, she said, it's just a matter of who delivers the message better is who you might believe. Facts are that he's overspent. And I don't think he's telling the truth there, but how many people know that?
No, he's not. But I used to have an old saying, there's no whining in football. Well, there's no whining by the president either. Listen, you saddled up for the job, you're riding the horse. You can't keep going back and blaming former administrations for what's happening right now. Your record is dismal. It's poor in every area. It's poor in leadership. It's poor in spending. It's poor in the tax situation. It's poor in every single area. Now, you're right. So we're talking about, they said, talk about the nastiness of ads. So this Bain Capital thing is a joke. I mean, they have a guy. He had a guy in his cabinet, a Democratic, one of his number one people. His company failed, the same thing, venture capitalist, same thing, laid off over 2,000 people, lost their jobs. Not a word said about it.
Yeah.
Now, this is all going to come back if people will only read between the lines once in a while. Not listen to every word he says, because he talks one thing and he does another thing. He's a great orator, and oration is important, but facts are more important. People
and the facts,
OPS and get to the facts.
And there's no question, Stevie, the fact, after you take out all the bailout money, they've overspent by more than any other administration. He's saying it's the least. So you just have to look at the record, look at the results, and try to make an intelligent decision. I think we need a new man. But
yeah.
I'm surprised he said that. On the other hand, again, I'm sitting here, Mike, I can't go back and start quoting numbers. I can't quote percentages. I don't know them. And so you can get away with it because we live so fast and have so many other things to do. And what you hear has an impact, and you're not going to be going checking the numbers. Huh,
yeah, and also, if you who besides Fox News would have tried to illuminate that line? I didn't hear it from CBS, ABC, NBC. They didn't do anything with that. But Fox News went and said, okay, here's the deal. Here's how they're getting to that, because they're using a baseline that isn't really right. And so,
there's only one news outlet that even gives you a close to a clear picture on both sides, and that's Fox. I mean, Fox News is the only one you can trust. You can't. You can, CBS, NBC, they say nothing about this. They said nothing about this venture capitalist that all of a sudden now, because he was part of a Obama's cabinet and campaign, all of a sudden when his thing failed, he's a venture capitalist. Not a word said about it. Not one word. You're going to
but Stevie, you see this all the time. You talk about your false baseline. This year, we're $1.3 trillion in the hole. That's the deficit. We're going to spend $1.3 trillion more than we brought in. But what's not in that number as far as a baseline is, with all the people retiring from the baby boom, the increased liability, the increased money we owe just from this year is another $3 trillion. We're actually $5 trillion further in debt, and they don't count that.
No.
And the rationale is, well, we really don't have to pay those people. That's not, we can always just cancel it or raise taxes so we don't count it. That's a false baseline, too. They don't want to talk about that. And this is the kind of thing that's been going on for 20, 30 years, Mike.
Well, unless you put a guy on the carpet for misleading people or for telling mistruths, then, you know, it's never going to, people are never going to understand. And our media is not doing that. The only one that does it is Fox News. And that's why it's the only one I watch. And I mean, I'm abhorred by some things. I turned to another channel last night, and they were talking about this this young kid, they got a young black individual who was killed, and the Hernandez kids or whatever his name is. And it was pretty interesting because this guy was so far to the left, it was ridiculous. And here, first of all, nobody knows what happened. I mean, you can only assume what happened. We know one thing that did happen. He did end up shooting. But why would anybody shoot anybody unless they were attacked?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it doesn't make any sense. This guy has had that job for a long time. He never had an incident. You know, the guy had to be attacked by this individual before he defended himself.
Talking about the Trayvon Martin case.
Out.
All right, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. We're on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM, 7:46, Friday morning, May 25. All right, we switch to the NFL. Thigh and knee pads mandatory in 2013, kind of a culture shift from the standpoint of, Mike, players think they're faster, quicker without that. I didn't realize that a lot of the pros didn't wear thigh and knee pads.
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, really, but you're not, nobody's getting thigh injuries and knee injuries from not wearing pads. That's got nothing to do with anything. You can wear all the pads you want to, and your knee's going to get blown out if you get hit the wrong way because you don't have a brace on it.
Yeah.
Now, the thigh is another thing. You can get a Charlie horse. You see very few of them, really. There's not that many of them. But, yeah, you know, I always wore thigh pads. I don't think I wore knee pads for a while, but then at the end I wore those too. Because if you got onto the artificial surfaces and you skin the heck out of your knees, so you put those on. They're just a little piece of foam rubber. Believe me, guys, if they're going to make a big deal out of this, they're crazy. Because whether you have men or not, it's not going to slow you down. So put them in, but it's not going to really prevent knee injuries. If that's what you're saying, it might prevent brush burns, but that's about it.
It's just kind of that in line with that push to make the NFL, you know, look like
what they're doing is fine. I mean, it has been from day one, the thigh pads and the knee pads have been a part of the uniform, and then people started taking them out for one reason, that they thought they ran faster because they had less pads on. You see guys with the original shoulder pads were shoulder pads. You know, when they got to a certain point, they were pretty big. Then you got to these guys wearing these little shoulder pads. What was that all about? Because they didn't worry so much about protecting their shoulders as they did about being able to move better, have more mobility. And that's what it was all about.
Well, it's yet another thing. People are saying, you know, Roger Goodell's going to make this flag football.
Well, that'll never happen. But
yeah, that's for sure.
I understand what the commissioner's trying to do. It's fine to legislate rulings to make the game as safe as possible. But you got to understand, football is football, guys, and you got big guys moving at a high rate of speed, and they are colliding. I mean, there are collisions. These aren't contacts; these are collisions, and that's why something's got to give. And I don't care how strong you condition your body, how great a shape you're in. If you get hit in the wrong position, your shoulder, your arm, your knee, you're going to break something or tear something. It's that simple.
And the impact of it is greater because body strength, muscle, speed, quickness, all that's increased?
Well, and the speed,
These guys work out all year. I mean, they were so strong now. And you can build a lot of muscle, but I really don't know how much you can change ligaments and tendons. I really don't know.
Well, Stevie, it's one half m for mass, v for velocity squared, 1/2 mv squared. So the velocity squared, and it's the speed of the game that makes it such a high risk sport, because with that kind of speed going straight toward each other, Mike has the right word. It's a collision.
Well, you know, guys, let me give you an example. I played the game, and I coached the game, and then a number of years ago, I was working for NBC or CBS, and did a Super Bowl, and our setup was in the end zone. You know, we had our setup in the end zone, and so when the play got down to that side of the field, I sat there, and I was totally amazed by the speed of the game. I really was. Mm. Now, you don't see it as much on TV, but you see it in person. And you start understanding the speed of the game and how fast these people are moving and how hard they're hitting each other. I mean, it is football, guys. I don't know how to put it any other way. God, I wish no one ever got hurt ever playing the game, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. All right, Chris Christie is going to try and allow gambling on sporting events in the state of New Jersey. He might be sued by the Department of Justice because only four states are allowed to do this. He says, let them try and stop me. I think we'll be successful. I mean, people gamble whether it's legal or not, don't they, Johnny?
Well, I don't know how you pick New Jersey out as far as you can't do it with four other states are doing it either. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big promoter of gambling because, number one, I usually lose if I bet. And number two, a lot of people do waste a lot of money. And when it's promoted by the, the authorities as an officially sanctioned cultural deal, it's not very efficient. But it's fun betting on stuff, too, if it's not much money. So I think Chris will get that if he wants it. I'm sure he can get that for New Jersey.
I think
what you said, it's going to happen anyways, guys. They're going to do it anyways. The state of New Jersey might as well get some money out of it. I mean, you say, well, I know they have off-track betting here in Illinois, and I don't know what that is, except I know you can go to this place and you can make a bet on a horse in a race that's run in Florida. I mean, you can do all that stuff. So, I mean, isn't that what you're talking about? Isn't that gambling? I assume it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it.
No, I know. It's amazing. It's a hypocrisy, whether it's right or wrong. You can't say the lottery pot of gold and then say, you bad person, you bet $10 on the Bears.
Steve, we can bet any sport we want through Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally legal.
Illinois. So why not? Why shouldn't the states really, if they want to do this? Now, there was a reason for one time of not doing it. They thought it brought an unsavory element to the state.
That's right.
You know, gambling is all over Las Vegas, and it's not run by the mafia. It's not run by anybody, but it's run by big business and corporations and people who make a lot of money on the people who watch and gamble, period.
Yeah. All right, two quick things before we wind it up. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on Connect FM. Oil's at $90, Johnny. Does that mean anything?
Well, it means gas might be a little bit cheaper, but it's going to fluctuate. That's kind of a market fluctuation deal.
John, they don't have to make gas cheaper. You know why? It doesn't matter. I've been driving a lot. This I drove yesterday coming down from the golf course, and I mean, I came down Sheridan Road. If I told you the traffic's incredible now, everywhere I go, there's traffic. Nobody is pulling back on their driving. Nobody. They ran a survey on it. Nobody is. They're not worried about the price of gas. If they got to go somewhere, they're going. They get in that car and they're going.
I still see a lot of big vehicles too, Mike.
Yeah.
You know,
God. Trucks everywhere.
Yeah. All right. It's Memorial Day, Mike. It's always been about the soldier. We would not have an America what we have without the soldier.
Well, I think it's time that we really stood up and applauded them and thought about it, what the meaning of Memorial Day is. It's not a day off from school, or it's not a day to have a picnic. It's a day to honor our military and the people who lost their lives fighting for this country, for the freedoms that we enjoy. And we wouldn't have it without them. Believe me, that's all there is to it. But
I got to tell you, I came into Champaign last evening, and when we came into the airport, the place was packed. They had fire trucks, American flags waving, and a huge crowd of people. And what it was, there was an honor flight Did you tell me it was Wixie Steve that sponsored
it? Yep, it was a good, it's a great promotion. I totally support it. Unfortunately, the plane broke, right?
Well, they did take the World War II veterans, Mike. They take them up to Washington, and there's some celebration in Washington, and they come back, and when they come back, here's this great crowd of supporters that showed up in big numbers. It was fantastic. They didn't get back last night, but I think the point is there's a lot of appreciation. The plane broke and it was late.
Yeah,
but
got in about midnight.
It doesn't really change the support of these guys, and we appreciate what they did, and especially those World War II guys. They're getting into the 90s.
Wait. The World War II guys are in their 90s or late.
Yeah. And guys, I sat next to this guy on the plane a week ago, Johnny and Mike, and he's a World War II veteran. We talked for an hour and a half. He was a fighter pilot shooting down the Germans. He fought in Korea. He fought in Vietnam. One of the nicest men I've ever met. Amazing, amazing, inspirational story. And he said to me, you know, I've never, all the stuff he's done, all, you know, flying all these cockpits being blown off, engines being shot down, landing them, crash land. He said, "I've never been in a hot air balloon, and I'm committed to getting this man in a hot air balloon. It's gonna be our own honor flight, Johnny. We're gonna get this man who's 90 years old. We're gonna get him in a hot air balloon so he can at least say he's done that."
Well, if he wants to get in a hot air balloon, I'm all for it.
And a big American flag on that hot air balloon.
That's it. Hey, guys, we'll leave it there. Now, remember, I won't call Monday, but we'll be back together next Friday. I'll be in the British Isles calling you guys, and we'll do our thing. And I really appreciate both of you.
Well, hit them straight, Stevie. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a great week, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.